I'm 35. The majority of my employees are under the age of 25. And I was having a conversation with a few of them the other day about just their futures. What are they saving for? Buying a home, starting families, that kind of thing. And it was overwhelming. The responses were just, what's the point? They're like, we work all the time. Half of our checks just get taken to taxes and sent overseas. Like, they even see it and they're young, not even paying attention. Like, we can't even buy a house, so we're not even going to try to save. We can barely think about starting a family because I can barely afford to live on my own. It's just, it's so heartbreaking. Like, there's no hope.
I am so lucky. I live at home with my mom. I don't know how those of you who are in the same boat as me in the financial way are out there doing it on your own. Yet other countries are getting billions and billions of our dollars. I would just like to ask you guys, when the fuck are we going to quit this fucking madness?
That's one of the hardest things about coming to Bitcoin. People like to say that you buy Bitcoin at the price you deserve, but I think it's you buy Bitcoin when you're prepared to admit you were wrong about Bitcoin. And that's just so hard for us to do.
Hey friends, welcome back. Sean from SGT Report here. We really appreciate you tuning in. Guys, the economic chaos, well, we've hit the point of no return. $34 trillion in debt, another $60 trillion for Ukraine, and the Congress critters and senatorial goblins have sold you and your family out. People are starting to lose it. So in this one, we dive deep into Bitcoin. Is Peter Schiff right? Well, he's been wrong since 2010. So let's dig into the facts as we find them with Guy Godslack, the president of My Digital Money. Thanks for tuning in, friends. Before we start, a quick word about a very important sponsor. We've told you the truth about the destruction and the demise of the US dollar and its purchasing power on this channel for more than a decade. So how do you feel about leaving your money in the bank? Not great, right? It's losing value every single day because it's being debased. So if it's stressing you out, why not invest smarter with Noble Gold Investments? Precious metals are simple and real, tangible wealth. And by the way, gold just broke a new all-time high in USD. There isn't a company on the stock market that was around 2,000 years ago, but guess what? Gold was. It's a reliable, dependable, and authentic way to protect your wealth. That's why you can't go wrong with precious metals. They always have your back. Noble Gold Investments is the same. Their American-based experts will show you how to set and forget your IRA or 401k. Now, there's no guarantee of any kind with any investment, so do your own due diligence, but you'll get a dedicated professional assigned to you from Noble Gold. So no hassle, no call centers. This month, Noble Gold Investments is giving a free quarter-ounce gold standard coin with every qualifying IRA investment. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to claim your gold coin. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Hey friends, welcome back. Thank you so very much for tuning in. It's Sean from SGT Report. I hope God is treating you and your family well today. Guys, so much to talk about. I have Guy Godslack, the president and co-founder of My Digital Money, back on the line today as Bitcoin soars while gold and silver got absolutely monkey hammered today. And guys, I own all three. I own physical silver, I own physical gold, just like Peter Schiff, but unlike Peter Schiff, I don't bash gold every time it craps the bed, like he likes to bash Bitcoin every time Bitcoin takes a dip. We'll get to that in just one second. Guy, welcome back.
Thanks for having me again.
Good to have you back. You know, we were to talk just the other day and we had to reschedule. And on that particular day, Bitcoin was trading around $60,000, and today it's trading at $67,000, give or take. And I just want to show people one quick thing. Again, I own physical gold, physical silver, and Bitcoin. And the reason we're having this conversation today, guys, is because it's much harder for Peter Schiff to talk crap about Bitcoin on days like this, where gold plummeted and Bitcoin went up. Gold down about 3%, Bitcoin up about 3%. Now, on a daily basis, Peter loves to bash Bitcoin every chance he gets. And I'm really starting to take issue with it because he's cost his listeners and his followers so much money. He's been bashing Bitcoin since it was $700. In fact, less than that. In fact, Max Keiser went to Peter's house and tried to make him understand Bitcoin when Bitcoin was 10 bucks. And Peter didn't get it. He still doesn't get it. So the reason we're having this conversation today, Guy, is because I want to present the case base for my listeners that this is just a simple matter of math. We're going to talk about the Bitcoin halving. We're going to talk about the ETF draining the Bitcoin supply and much, much more. Before we start, give us a little bit of an update about what you're seeing post-halving. The halving, the Bitcoin halving just happened on the 20th. We're 2 days deep into the Bitcoin halving, where the supply has fallen from 900 Bitcoin a day to 450 Bitcoin a day. What are you seeing on your end?
Yeah, so as soon as the halving happened, the spike didn't happen right away, which is usually expected in past halvings. Usually there's a little bit of a dip, but then it kind of starts to steadily rise over the next year to 18 months. We had an 8% rise since the halving happened, over an 8% now. I think the part of it is also there was a new protocol on Bitcoin that was released at the same time as the halving. So that caused a lot of network activity. The fees reduced, essentially the rewards reduced for miners right after the halving, right? But the impact wasn't as much as usual because of this new protocol that was released. It's basically this protocol allows you to create fungible tokens. Essentially, you can create new coins on top of Bitcoin. And because of that, actually the fees really went up. So miners, ended up not taking as much of a hit as usual. Now it's kind of normalized. Now after, four or five days, it's been 4 days, I guess. We've seen an 8% increase. And, I expect, of course, there's going to be ups and downs, but I expect that we'll hit 100 this year.
100,000. Yeah. I concur. I concur. We're going to get to the math on this in just 1 second. But, the miners had a very good day today. Many of them up between 10 and 15%. CleanSpark, Mara, Riot Blockchain. They're all going to do very well, I think, because of what you just described. And because the healthy miners, the ones with the best equipment, they will flourish, even though the halving just occurred. And it's a matter of math, guys. This is why I want to share the story with you. And if you want to sign up over at My Digital Money, they can help you get started. Dollar cost averaging into Bitcoin. And here's the thing. It's a simple matter of math. This comes from Invest Answers over on YouTube, one of the best channels about Bitcoin. This guy's very, very analytical. He's math driven. And I just want to play this soundbite about the ETF drain on supply the last 69 days since the Bitcoin ETFs were approved. Listen to this.
I looked at the average Bitcoin consumption per ETF over the last 69 days. And funnily enough, Fidelity consumed on average 2,222 Bitcoin a day over 69 days, which is bonkers to think about. BlackRock, nearly 4,000 a day. And GBTC dumped 4,564 a day. So I was saying, okay, what happens if the GBTC dumpage goes away? We've already seen a drastic reduction in that dumpage already happen. The question is, what happens next? So,
all right, I'll play that if you guys want to hear it, and I assume you do. Let me just help you understand what he's talking about. GBTC, because they have onerous fees of about 1.5%, they've seen an outflow of Bitcoin, of their Bitcoin from GBTC, and people are flipping that Bitcoin. They're selling GBTC and buying the Fidelity or the BlackRock or the ARK or whoever. There's like 11 ETFs out there for Bitcoin. And so what's happening is you watch Fidelity stack 2,200 Bitcoin a day as BlackRock stacks 4,000 Bitcoin a day. Sooner or later, the GBTC selling will subside. And in fact, we're seeing that that's starting to happen. And then you're looking at Fidelity and BlackRock, just those two ETFs out of 11, stacking around 6,200 Bitcoin a day when the daily supply from miners is 450. Guys, it's just a matter of math.
I'll walk you through this table very quickly. It's a bit of an eye chart, but bear with me. First of all, in the first, this is third column, I removed GBTC. And then I assumed the numbers are the same. And then I calculated what percentage is that consumption of these nine new ETFs as a function of the amount of Bitcoin mined per day. And the answer is 1,716%. But that's not where this gets interesting. Where it gets interesting is the price predictions based on this consumption. Now, for those who think, yeah, the ETFs are out of flavor, it's going to diminish, maybe that's true. So what I added was 75% of history, 50% of history, 25% of history, and 10% of history. So depending on how pessimistic you are, you can pick your poison, and then you get to the same amount. But even if these 9 new ETFs only buy 10% of what they bought over the last 69 days, okay, that results in 579.42 Bitcoin. And that's still 128.76% of the actual issuance on a daily basis.
Okay, guys, you got to understand one last thing. And we don't have to get into the price predictions. I'll just let the genie out of the bottle and say that the low case he makes here for Bitcoin's price over the next year is 140,000. The high case price is north of 500,000 per coin. And this, guys, does not include, Guy, help me out here. This does not include the just recently approved Hong Kong Bitcoin ETFs, which will settle in actual Bitcoin.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a matter of math. And as you said, Hong Kong just approved their ETF. So they're just getting started. You know, Larry Fink, the CEO of BlackRock, basically announced his bullishness for Bitcoin when he used to be, you know, skeptic. Kind of like Peter Schiff, except that he can admit when he's wrong. And, you know, he said that the Bitcoin ETF is the fastest growing ETF in the history of ETFs. So it is has to outperform any expectation of anyone. And so, yeah, it's crazy. And, you know, I still think it's going to continue. Even, you know, like you said, if it is 10% of history, we're still doing well. And so, yeah, it's just math, like you said. And now the supply has reduced even more with the halving, right? And so now it's, you know, it even accelerates that growth even more.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of other, you know, bullish factors that factor into this as well. You know, there's regulation that is improving. We just had a draft stablecoin bill, and I suspect that we'll have a actual bill passed, could be by the end of the year or shortly thereafter. Which will definitely help, you know, institutions and you know, more mainstream entities get into the game even more. And also, I might have mentioned this to you already, but there's basically the ETFs now have authorized partners as of a few weeks ago of the big banks, right, like Morgan Stanley. And that is actually going to increase the reachability basically of these ETFs even more, because the wealth managers haven't even begun to really get into it, right?
That's right.
And so now, you know, it's starting to become even more accessible.
Yeah. Well, I think that's an important point, because a lot of the wealth managers out there are going to find it to be true that it's their fiduciary responsibility to at least share information about this asset class with their investors, or they could be in breach of their fiduciary responsibility. The word is just starting to get out, guys. These people, look, these offices, the guys that have these jobs, it takes them 60 or 90 days to really do the research, get behind this, and really understand what's happening here. This is a sea change. And again, I'm not proselytizing about Bitcoin. I happen to believe in it, but even if y'all don't, it's a matter of math. We'll go back to this chart. What was he talking about here? This 10% of history, 25. He's saying that in the first 60 days, these are the numbers of Bitcoin being stacked by Fidelity, BlackRock, ARK Investments, and the others. Okay. You're talking some 7,700 Bitcoin a day. So even if demand slows and it moves forward at just 25% of that demand over the next year, it's roughly 2,000 Bitcoin a day of demand with 450 supply. But it's worse than that, guys. Take a look at this. Again, not including the Hong Kong ETFs, just the Wall Street Bitcoin ETFs. In addition to that, somebody called Mr. 100, who it's believed is probably a nation state. And this wallet is stacking 100 Bitcoin multiple times a day, just about every single day. Now, there was a recent sale of Bitcoin, but then he started buying again. So the point is that amidst the ETF demand and the diminishing supply and the Hong Kong ETFs demand and Mr. 100 and other nation states around the world like El Salvador stacking Bitcoin, you can see the supply demand problem, guys. There's too much demand and not enough supply. What is that going to do to price?
Yeah, and like you said, it's numbers, and I think from just a finance perspective, you're looking to make some money. It makes sense, but if you go back to why Bitcoin exists, right? And I think that's where you and I are sold on Bitcoin because we understand it's there to solve our problems with the dollar, right? And with overprinting and de-dollarization, and we see signs of this continuing every single day. Whether it's something that the Biden administration is doing or BRICS, right, announced that it's creating its own blockchain, so that furthers de-dollarization. I read stories every day that makes me more and more worried, and basically sparks within me the need to buy more Bitcoin, regardless of the supply shock that you're talking about, right? If you're thinking long term, I mean, how do you protect yourself against inflation, de-dollarization, and all of that, right? So I think it helps to go back to the basics of why Bitcoin even exists in the first place, and remind ourselves of the problem that we have with our financial system here.
Yeah, $34 trillion in debt. And these criminals in our government just approved another $60 billion for Ukraine and another, I think, $29 billion for Israel. And our borders are wide open. So we're going to talk about a couple of other problems with our criminal federal government and a criminal state government in California in just one second. But I want to show you guys one more thing. If you follow Peter Schiff on Twitter, God bless him, right? I got nothing against Peter Schiff. I just get a little sick and tired of him being the world's biggest Bitcoin troll because he's cost people money ever since Bitcoin was introduced by being a Bitcoin troll. The dark green line, by the way, whoever did this chart, pick some different colors. This is a funny chart, but the dark, dark green line, the one that goes straight up, that's Bitcoin from around 2011 until today. Okay. This yellow line is the price of gold. All right. So when Peter Schiff likes to tweet every single day that Bitcoin is a failed experiment and Bitcoin's going to zero and Bitcoin is this, Bitcoin's that, I would suggest you listen to the smartest people in the world, some of the well-heeled billionaires who are advocating Bitcoin and who are admitting that they are exposed to Bitcoin to the tune of 10, 20, sometimes 50%. These guys are going in big on Bitcoin. And that brings me to the problem with Biden and states and governors like Gavin Newsom. So I wanted to ask you, Guy, what do you make of the fact that Biden is now attempting to buy votes by forgiving student debt? Now, it's my understanding that one of the assets, believe it or not, debt being an asset, one of the assets, one of the only assets on the U.S. federal government's balance sheet are the student loans. And now he's just going to write those off to buy votes. What about the people that already paid back their student loans? What about the people who lived frugally and never got student loans? I mean, this is just chaos. And by the way, I think the Supreme Court ruled it unconstitutional, and he's going to do it anyway, Guy.
Yeah, and I always tell you I'm not a political person, but it's hard to not be affected by this. I mean, this debt cancellation is going to average us, about $30 billion year over year for the next decade. And it's basically going to cost more than, the nation has spent over the last 20 years in unemployment insurance, and larger than the amount it's spent on earned income tax credit and larger than it's spent on food stamps in the last 20 years. In 2020, about 43 million Americans relied on food stamps to feed their families. And so, the money could be going towards things like that. And this is, it's not that I don't agree with helping with education. This is just not the right way to do it. And it doesn't attack the root of the problem. In fact, it just contributes to inflation and to the cost of tuition, right? And so, yeah, this seems to me like a political move. If you really take into account, economics, right, and you actually think about this intelligently, I don't see any other reason other than buying votes that he would be trying to do this, right?
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. And I want to show you guys one more thing here. Guys, just look at what happened today to gold and silver. I own gold. I own silver. I own Bitcoin. This stuff makes me sick to my stomach, just like it should make all y'all sick to your stomach. I mean, silver down 5.4%, while all this government does is print and add another $1 trillion to the debt balance sheet every 100 days. I mean, how is this possible, guys? You know it's being manipulated. And that actually brings me back to Peter Schiff. Again, he'll never talk. He refuses to talk about the paper manipulation of gold and silver as though it doesn't exist. And when gold goes down in a day like it did today, he'll say that was profit taking. That's not profit taking. That is derivatives, paper manipulation of the precious metals space. And it's disgusting. So this is why I've been talking about Bitcoin as a hedge, as something you can turn to. You don't have to go all in, but make it a hedge, a portion, a small portion of your portfolio to provide a ballast against days like this. Which brings me to Gavin Newsom. In my view, another traitor. We don't have to get political here. My word's not yours, guy. But the dude just raised minimum wage in California to $20 an hour. And guess what the result was? Fast food workers getting laid off. Small business owners having to lay off people. These idiotic bureaucrats are driving our nation into the ground. And none of them have ever run a business, guy, like you. They don't know how to run a business.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy what's happening in California. I can go on and on because I live in California. And yeah, like you said, I mean, businesses are going out of business. Like Foster Freeze and Mod Pizza had to shut down as a direct result of the minimum wage increase that you mentioned. So this is, if you're looking at it from a long-term perspective, these are not the right moves to make. It might look good to some very few people, like, you know, when it comes to elections, like, oh, this is good for the people if you don't really think about it. But really all it's going to do is drive up costs, and that's going to hurt the same workers that it's supposed to benefit.
Yeah. Yep. Well, then let's talk about Bidenomics, because that really seems to be working. Oh, wait, it doesn't seem to be working at all. I see videos on Twitter. They're typically TikTok videos that also get posted on Twitter, but some of them are just organically Twitter videos of young people absolutely raging about the fact that they cannot make ends meet because of the inflation, because the rents are soaring, because gas prices are soaring, because food prices are soaring. They can't pay their student debt. And look, I'm not saying that their debt should be forgiven. I'm saying this system has sold them out. This system has sold us out, all of us, guy. And that's why, and boy, we'll get to this. You want to talk about another hardcore criminal, Elizabeth Warren. We'll get to her in just 1 second. But how about the payroll story? How about the economy story? Bidenomics, they say, is working. Oh, look at all the jobs that were created. No. Then the numbers guys dig in and realize, oh, no. These weren't good jobs being created. These are part-time jobs being added by people who are desperate, who are going out to seek a second or a third job, guy.
Correct. Yeah, totally. So again, it's just like the inflation numbers. You know, you pick a certain number and you make it look good, but it's, you know, like you said, this is part-time jobs because people can't make ends meet. So they're working overtime, which is not sustainable. And if you look at full-time jobs, we actually have decreased the amount of jobs. And you also have to look at, you know, foreign-born workers and how much that's gone up in the last few years, while, you know, native-born Americans have really taken a hit on jobs. And so you have to really, you know, look at it more deeply and to really understand the real story, that the job market is, it's not really improving at all.
Let me ask you something. So you living in California, what do y'all pay there in state income tax? What is it? 12%, 13%?
Something like that. Yeah. I mean, when I look at it combined with federal, it's insane. It's the highest I've ever paid that anyone's ever paid. State, you're probably right, is about that much. Yeah.
Yeah, it's atrocious. So for anybody who's doing fairly well, you're paying at least 50% in tax between state and federal. If you're earning a lot of money, I'm sure that you're, 45% tax bracket plus add 13% onto that. I mean, this is so far beyond onerous. It is totalitarian. It is authoritarian. And you want to see something more authoritarian? See, this is what's become of our quote unquote government. These people think your money is their money. And I'm not just talking about your gold or your silver or your Federal Reserve notes that you get paid for trading your labor for their fiat. No, Elizabeth Warren wants the Bitcoin. Here's a letter she sent to President, I put that in quotes, Joe Biden. She says she's writing to the president to introduce the Cryptocurrency Reporting and Wealth Tax Act. Now, this witch, she didn't want the Bitcoin ETFs approved. In fact, she wanted Bitcoin banned because she's all about the bankers and the central bank digital currency. Now, under this proposed legislation, she writes, individuals, trusts, and entities holding cryptocurrency assets with a value exceeding $1,000 would be required to report such holdings to the IRS, but it gets worse. Furthermore, the bill proposes the imposition of a 1% wealth tax on cryptocurrency holdings exceeding $500,000 for individuals, trusts, and entities. Guys, this is just another money grab from the kleptocrats that are now realizing they can't ban Bitcoin, so they better just try to seize it through taxation. This woman, I'm sorry, again, guy, my words, not yours. She is a witch. She is an economic witch, and she stands against the best interests of the people, as do, in my view, again, all the demon rats, my words, not yours. These people are selling us out. Again, $60 billion for Ukraine, our borders are wide open.
Yeah, and you know, with, when it comes to Elizabeth Warren, you know, I try not to get political, but I'm a crypto guy, and she is the number one enemy of crypto, and that's because it's not controlled by the government. You know, they have no control over it, and it empowers people to, you know, be financially independent, and they're not for that, right? And so, that's the point I made earlier is. Bitcoin, remember why it's there, right? It's to guard against all these issues that are happening. And, you know, the Bitcoin year over year has gone up, you know, over 100%. And, you know, that is really the only solution I see other than opening your own business or working three jobs, right? And that takes much longer to make money on and to be able to, you know, catch up with this, you know, this inflation. Than buying Bitcoin, right? And I know from experience, because, you know, I've bought Bitcoin and I feel much more financially secure than a lot of other people. So,
yeah. So look, all I've been trying to do since I first bought Bitcoin and announced it publicly in November of 2015 at 355 each, all I've been trying to do is tell people, dip your foot in the pool. You never know where this thing could go. And I don't think it's going to zero. Peter Schiff does. He's been wrong for a long time. I think he'll continue to be wrong for a long time. I want to go back to that Elizabeth Warren letter. This strikes me as so criminal. Let me read this line. She writes, "I firmly believe that this legislation strikes the right balance between fostering innovation in the cryptocurrency space and ensuring that our tax system remains fair and equitable for all Americans." Let that sink in. What is fair and equitable about this tax system, guys? Now, as President Bukele recently stated when he visited the United States, he said, "Your income tax does not go to pay for the roads. Your income tax doesn't go to pay for Jack Diddley. They just print the money out of thin air, and your income tax goes to service the debt on the money they print out of thin air." So she's absolutely full of it. She's disingenuous. And I'm sorry, dude, she is a bold-faced liar. She represents the old guard. The banking establishment that wants a central bank digital currency. Don't you think? And what? And where does that get us? If they get away with introducing a CBDC guy and the people comply, it's game over. You want to talk about track and trace. If they don't like your politics, they'll just turn off your central bank digital currency.
Absolutely. Yeah, they can monitor every transaction and ban your transactions if they don't like something you're purchasing. I mean, yeah, it's the opposite of what Bitcoin stands for.
All right, well, let's take a minute and talk about what people can purchase through My Digital Money. You know, there's iBit, there's HODL, there's all these different ETFs owned by these different groups, Fidelity, BlackRock, ARK just being three of many. How do people get involved? Can they buy Bitcoin directly? Can they actually own Bitcoin, actual Bitcoin in a wallet, as opposed to using those ETF vehicles to buy Bitcoin?
Yeah, I mean, so you have essentially three options. You know, one is to buy the ETF, which gives you exposure to Bitcoin, but you're not holding Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies directly, right? So you're investing in a fund, or you can basically buy Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies through an exchange or a platform like My Digital Money. Differences with My Digital Money, you actually own legally Bitcoin. You don't hold it in your own wallet, so you don't have to worry about the, you know, holding the private keys and losing your private keys. But it's legally yours, and we're not allowed to touch it. And you can do it in an IRA, which gives you the tax advantages. And then the third way is you can buy Bitcoin into your own wallet. And a lot of people like that option because, you know, they have it on their hard drive and they're in full control of it. But the downside of that is, you know, you have to be a little tech savvy, although the technology is improving. And, you know, if you lose your passphrase, then you could say goodbye to your cryptocurrency. So those are your options. And ETFs make it easy for people that are already investing in stocks. They're already, you know, using the exchanges. And it makes it easy for accredited investors and institutions to get in. But just beware that you're not holding Bitcoin directly. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if anything happens with these funds, you know, you have that risk, of course.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to do one last thing for the audience. I think it's a treat, but this is just me. I want to play a clip from Samson Mao, who is a guest on a Bitcoin show. Smart guy, CEO of a game company called Pixelmatic, and a very, very big Bitcoin guy. And I just realized the other day as I was watching clips from Samson Mao that, look, if you click on this right here, Samson Mao, it says follows me and I follow him. So that's cool. Small world. I didn't know he followed me. But anyway, I want to play this clip from Samson Mao because he's very, very bullish on the price of Bitcoin. Check this out.
But you're pretty bullish over the next few years, right?
Yeah. Well, I think this year we're going to hit a million.
You think we hit a million this year?
If not this year, next year. But it's coming very soon.
So I saw you say that. I didn't know if you were just, it was like a meme for you. But I'll win my bet with Mike Green then.
You will.
So I've bet him 100K this year.
You're going to win.
Yeah. Okay. Tell me your thesis for a million this year, next year. Because I had a, I did an interview yesterday, no, 2 days ago with Checkmate, the Glassnode guy. Me and Danny, we all did a bet at the end, a 100K sats bet. And mine was by the end of 25, I went for a top of 380. Danny went 250. I think Checkmate went 200. So we're all, I mean, I'm a third of yours there. All right, give me a thesis.
The thesis is so many things. I mean, the whole setup we have right now is perfect for a run-up. You have demand far outstripping supply and yeah. supply about to be cut. You know, halving is in a month and change.
Yeah.
The ETFs alone are pulling in about...
Isn't the net inflow about 3,500 a day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... Given that exchanges have about 2.2 million, maybe less. Like Glassnode says 2.2. I think it's less.
Yeah.
And the demand is like 3,000-4,000 a day just from ETFs alone. That doesn't leave us a lot of time to drain that pool of Bitcoin.
Guys, that clip was from the show What Bitcoin Did. And that guy has excellent guests. I just wanted to play the clip, guy. Again, this is just a level setting operation here. Because I know a lot of people are myopic about Bitcoin. They made a snap judgment. They hate Bitcoin. But a lot of them don't understand it. They've never put in the work. So anyway, we'll show your website here. You can tell people how to sign up. And then you get the last word on Bitcoin. And maybe any price projections you have here in 2024, now that the halving has already occurred. Again, that clip from Samson Mao was over a month old. The Bitcoin halving just happened the other day. Here's the website, guys. My Digital Money. And I'll give you the last word, guy.
Yeah, so it's easy to sign up. Takes about 5 minutes. Go to mydigitalmoney.com. And we have a US-based team, so they're knowledgeable. You can call us and we'll walk you through the sign-up process or answer any questions you have about Bitcoin, other cryptocurrencies, you know, even just one-on-one questions. We're happy to talk about it. We love talking about it. And you can open a Play Money account too if you're not ready to invest your actual money, so you can at least test out the platform. And yeah, it's a great year, great time to get in, even though we're close to an all-time high. There's so many analysts that are predicting above 100,000 this year and next year, 250,000. You know, I think we'll hit 100,000. I think in the second half of this year is when we'll really start to, you know, run up on the price. You know, election time, even more in November will be a great time. But of course, it's hard to time these things. But I think just long term, you're willing to put your money aside and you don't need your certain bucket of money for your day-to-day, you know, I say make a bet. I don't like to give advice, but look into an IRA, look into a crypto IRA, because, you know, you'll save so much on taxes. You don't have to worry about, you know, setting aside money for taxes at the end of the year. And you can swing trade. And again, go to mydigitalmoney.com. We have a lot of educational content as well.
Yeah. You sparked a thought. Let me just ask you, for people who have an IRA existing, maybe a couple of them, right? Make the case for using that IRA, not the whole thing, perhaps. I mean, let's say somebody's got 200 grand in an IRA and they want to transfer 75 grand to my digital money to put it to work in Bitcoin. That's a completely possible thing to do, and you guys can help with that, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. You basically fill out the application with your custodian information, and you can partially transfer your IRA or fully. And that's pretty easy to do. And you can start investing right away using your IRA, which again, saves you so much. I could tell you, I had an old 401k I forgot about, and I rolled it over into my digital money. And, you know, I doubled it in a very short amount of time. Whereas before, it took me, you know, over 10 years to double it. So, you know, you could try it with a small amount, and then you can always transfer more and more. There's no limits on how many times you can transfer money in, and there's no fee to transfer money in. So I think it's a great option.
Yeah. Let me say one last thing too, guys. Obviously it goes without saying, there are no investment guarantees. Always do your own due diligence, right? You got to be smart about this stuff, but I want to make one last point. You know, I just said 75 grand transfer from 200. Maybe that's too much, right? Maybe it's 5%. Maybe it's 10%. 10% of 200,000 would be 20 grand. But here's the thing. Fred Krieger, another smart guy in the space, he has said repeatedly recently that 10% to him, a 10% allocation to Bitcoin just means you don't understand the asset class. Okay, that's his words, not mine. Just wanted to share that with you guys. And the last thing I'll say is that currencies around the world are hitting new all-time highs every single day when priced in Bitcoin. You've heard of some of these currencies, guys, like the Japanese yen, like the British pound. How about this one? The Indian rupee is now down 99.6% when priced in Bitcoin. This is why we're having the show today. Our guest is Ben, the president and co-founder of My Digital Money, Guy Gottschalk. Guy, thanks so much. I'll leave the link below.
Thanks, John.
All right. Nice to have you. Friends, I want to thank you so much for tuning in. For those of us who are still with me, I appreciate that. I know a lot of you don't like Bitcoin. I'm just trying to help you out, guys. And I'll remind you to that end every single day for free. Check us out for free to get the antidote to corporate propaganda and all of those Mockingbird mainstream media lies at sgtreport.com. Until next time, God bless you and yours. Bye-bye.
Bank of England, the City of London, even the COMEX, all has been about controlling the price of silver. And even with the Industrial Revolution, most of the silver is now gone, will never come back. People need to start thinking of silver as money again. And when you start thinking that way, it's probably a 1-to-1 gold-silver ratio.